If I was to ask you, who is God? I wonder what you would say. If we were to go outside around the streets and ask people, you know, what do you think about God? Who is God? What's God like? I suppose some people would say they didn't believe in God. Some people would say they weren't sure. And then other people would say something like, well, my idea of God is, I think that God is like this. And then you will get other people that might say, when I see God, I will tell him. When I see God, I will have something to say to him. You know, I was very struck this morning in our time of sung worship about the number of times that we sang about how good and holy and great and mighty God is. And Isaiah had an experience of God that changed him forever. We're not going to look at that experience this morning. But if you know anything about Isaiah, he was a prophet. He lived a very long time ago in Jerusalem. And his name means God is salvation. So that's a good name to have, isn't it? And in 724 years before Christ, he was called to be a prophet when he met with God. And I tell you, when he met with God, he didn't tell God what. He didn't say, my idea of God is. He saw who God truly was. And he ended up in front of God, saying that he was unworthy and sinful. But God cleansed his sin and called him to be a prophet. And as a prophet, he spoke the word of God for that time, and he also foretold the future from God's perspective. And we're going to read some verses this morning and tonight from Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Because Isaiah knows that his people will one day be taken into exile because of their idolatry and because of their sin. But that one day they would be liberated and Zion would be restored. In his writings, he writes about God's holiness, God's requirements, Israel's sin, their judgment, and their salvation. And the people are going to be in great distress. But Isaiah reminds them, this is your God. You know, all around us are people in great distress. Christians and people that don't yet know Jesus. People in great distress, wondering what the future holds, how they can carry on, what the next day will bring. How they're going to cope. Does God care? And Isaiah here says, this is your God. What's your God like? Is he just a figment of your imagination? What you would like him to be? Or is he the God of the Bible? So let's read some verses from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that a hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Verse 9. You who bring good news to Zion, go up to a high mountain. You who bring good news to Zion, to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or the breadth of his hand marked out the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Verse 18. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? Verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. Verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is our God. I just want to think about this God for a few minutes and just really share some of the verses again and just make a few comments, because actually they don't need that much comment. They just need us to think about them and take them in. And you know, and we ask God's Holy Spirit to reveal the Father to us. He is the sovereign Lord. Verse 10 says, he is the sovereign Lord. He comes with power. Verse 23, he brings princes to naught, reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, they are sown. No sooner do they not take root in the ground, he blows on them and they wither. We've said this many times this morning, haven't we? Our God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all things. He is sovereign. Now, I know we say that our Queen is our sovereign, but she does not have the power. I mean, years ago, the king or the queen did have the power, didn't they? What they said went, and if they didn't like you, you were in trouble. Our queen these days, although we call her the sovereign, she has no power. But our God is truly sovereign. He is all-powerful. You know, sometimes I think we think that, you know, the fight between God and the devil, well, you know, one day God's winning and the next day the devil wins, and oh, it's all a bit of a tussle, because it looks like that, doesn't it, sometimes? But our God is sovereign. We may not always understand that. When we see the evil in the world, when we see terrible things happening, we think, why? But a reading of the scriptures in so many places tells us again and again that God is in control. See, if we don't believe that, how do we ever carry on? If I didn't believe that God was in control, even though I cannot sometimes understand it, I don't think we could carry on. But God is sovereign. Do you believe that? King of Kings. Not just the king or a king, but the King of Kings. The ruler of all things. Not just a Lord or the Lord, but the Lord of Lords. And he will reign forever and ever. our God is sovereign. He is the only true God. In verses 19 and 20, Isaiah says, some people make idols. They find some wood and they overlay it with gold and then they put silver on it and then they worship it. And in chapter 41 and verse 7, he says, the metal worker encourages the goldsmith and one makes it with a hammer and they say, that's good. And in chapter 42 and verse 8, he says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. Because those who trust in idols will be turned back in utter shame. And we haven't got time to read it now, but if you ever read chapter 44, there is a very long passage about someone making an idol. How the blacksmith takes his tools and he makes an idol. But the idol can't do anything for him. God is the only God. He says there is no other. We often sing, there is none like you. You know, over the years, people have believed in many gods. Still do today, don't they? Many gods. The worship of idols. But God says, I am the only God. All other gods are false and lies. Well, you might say, well, I don't worship idols. Some people still do. But we may not worship idols of wood and stone and gold. Who do we worship? Do we worship ourselves? You know, the God within me? Do we worship sport, money, ambition, business? Have they become our gods? In the New Testament, it even says that greed is idolatry, which might be a bit worrying for some of us sometimes. Who do you worship? What do you worship? Because the God who is sovereign is the only God, the only one worthy, as we've said in our prayers, of our praise and worship. He is eternal. He is eternal. It's one of the questions that is very difficult to answer, isn't it? It's perhaps one of the first questions that our children ask when they get to that age where they start asking questions. Who made God? Mummy, who made God? Well, nobody. That's difficult to get our heads around, isn't it? From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. In verse 8 of chapter 40, it says, the word of the Lord endures forever. In chapter 41 and verse 4, it says, I, the Lord, the first of them, and with the last, I am he. In chapter 44 and verse 6, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Our God is everlasting. Wow. And yet sometimes we try to reduce him to someone who's just slightly better than we are. My mate. God's not my mate. God is the eternal, sovereign, only God. Yes, he's our friend. Let's remember who he is. He is the creator. In verse 12, and we have this picture of God. Now, I know God hasn't really got hands because he's a spirit, but this is picture language. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? or the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales? You know, we are so fortunate, aren't we, these days, with our televisions. Don't you just love watching the nature programs? You see the mighty waters, the beautiful mountains, the stars in the sky, the animals and how they live, the snow, the sun. We live in a beautiful world. Yes, we've spoiled it. But God is the creator who can measure the mountains in his hands. Now, there's a lot of mountains in the world, and some of them are pretty big, aren't they? And he made it from nothing. Now, I'm not very good at making things out of something. You know? I was just supposed to be writing my name on our women's meeting tablecloth and embroidering it. No way. I'll give someone else the needle and the cotton and they can do it for me. I can't create things. You know, sometimes we ask children to make things out of egg boxes, and we're not allowed to use toilet rolls anymore, are we? But you know what? I mean, make something out of that. Our God made this beautiful world from nothing by speaking. In chapter 42, we read this. This is what God the Lord said, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. And chapter 45. This is what the Lord said. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. This world did not come about by accident. It was created by our sovereign ruler, our God. And he is incomparable. He says, to whom will you compare God? Well, I think God is like, well, God's a bit like, but maybe a bit better. We cannot compare God with anyone because he is unique. He is all wise. Who told God what to do? No one. I was reminded the other week of a hymn that we don't sing very often now, but the first verse is amazing. Immortal. That means living forever. Invisible. God only wise. In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious. Thy great name we praise. As if that's our view of God, that's going to make all the difference to our lives, isn't it? If we believe in a God that, well, sometimes he can and sometimes he can't, and, well, you know, maybe he's all powerful, but maybe he's not. Maybe he cares, maybe he doesn't. We have nothing to base our lives on. He is untiring. I love this one. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. That's good, isn't it? Do you ever grow tired? Do you ever grow weary? God never does. We're told that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. So that's good, because that means that God is always awake. So God is always there. And he is holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our songs will rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Chapter 41 and verse 14. Do not be afraid, do not fear, for I am your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel has created this. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. Our God is holy, different, set apart, perfect in every way. You know, Mary Poppins said she was practically perfect in every way. Well, she wasn't. Our God is perfect, sinless, totally different to you and me. And if we can get our heads around that, what will we do? Like Isaiah, we will fall at his feet and admit that we are sinful people in his presence and give him the glory and the praise. There's a more modern song that sometimes we sing that says this: you are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words. What do you think about God? Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. So I stand in awe of you. This is the God that the Bible tells us about. Is this the God that you believe in? Is this the God that you have put your trust in? But he is also, and we'll look at this more tonight, as we come to the table of the Lord, he is the one who promises that he will be our shepherd. He will help us in our times of trouble. He will forgive us. And he will strengthen us. He is the God who creates with perfect knowledge and infinite power. He is the God who reigns. He is the God who sustains. You know, in many religions, or to some people's ideas, why would God care? If there is a God, why would he care? If God is so great, so holy, so mighty, so different, what do I matter to him? Well, I don't understand space. I don't get it, but I know it's big. And we are this tiny little planet in this huge, great universe. And we are one of how many billions of people on this earth? That could make us feel pretty insignificant, couldn't it? You know, I'm this tiny little person that lives here for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, which is not much, even though sometimes it seems a long time. I live in this tiny little planet that looks like a bit of dust in the middle of lots and lots of big bits. And God is great and God is holy, and what do I matter? Do I matter? God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him won't perish but will have everlasting life. God knows how many hairs you have got on your head. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? God knows when you get up and when you lie down. God knows the thoughts in your head before you've got them. And God loves you. This amazing God loves you. To God be the glory, we just sang, for the things that he has done. This is our God. I pray this morning that you know this God. Know this God. And that you will want to worship him and love him and trust him. Sometimes we say it's all in a name. Our Lord Jesus has 283. That's even more than the Daft people that put 30 or 40 members of the football team on their child's birth certificate. 283 names. Why? Because our God is so great that we can't even begin to think about all the different facets that he has. But we do know, don't we? His name is wonderful. I do hope you do. I do pray that you do. Yes, our God is great and mighty. We should bow in awe of him and not treat him lightly. Hold him in respect. But he also wants to be our loving Heavenly Father, our counselor, our friend, our guide. And it's all because he was willing to send Jesus to be our Saviour, as we will remember as we come to the table. King upon the throne, earth will never overthrow. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that although you are so great, so mighty, so holy, so incomprehensible, you love us. Father, you rejoice over us. You sent your Son to be our Saviour, that we might begin to know you here and know you in eternity forever. Father, your word says that if you marked our transgressions, we couldn't stand before you. And we admit to you that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. We don't deserve to go to heaven, but you have made it possible through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. And Father, we pray that as in a few minutes we will take bread and wine, we will just once again be amazed all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.